introduce yourself and what your role is.
Right, so my name is Iftikhar Ganchi. I'm a community advisor for the Indian community in Leicester. And my role is to obviously engage with all the communities connected to India.
Why is it important for people to fill out the census?
So apart from the fact that it's a legal requirement, we've got what we call an ever-changing society in Britain. Now, the census takes place every 10 years. I'd like to think that there's more regular changes within our society, and especially our community, the Indian community. If you use the example of the Indian community in Leicester, it's been growing for the last 20-odd years or so at least. Naturally, there's been a lot of migration, especially from the Indian subcontinent, and I'd say one or two places in particular. But it's also important because the needs of the community need to be met. And that's very vital because sometimes people don't have enough information about services that are provided by the government. They seem to think the government just makes a decision and gives us these services. But the truth is we rely heavily on this data to maintain these services, to continue these services throughout time, especially for the next 10 years and so forth. So if we are represented correctly, the needs of the community are met correctly.
Can you expand a little bit more on how the census data actually helps to provide services for the Indian community or other communities in general?
Yes. So, if we take the Muslim community, we never used to have what we call chaplains in hospitals. That's now changed over the last 10 years, 15 years, and around the country where there's a greater Muslim population. I'm also aware that the Hindu community doesn't have something like that. Where you're represented well and where you have, say, patients in hospitals and things like that, especially when you're going through traumatic times, it would help to have some sort of chaplain, Maharaj, as we call them, in a hospital attending that. Now, I've been encouraging Hindu communities, for example, to sort of use the Muslim example because we use the Jewish example. And managed to get a Muslim chaplain in. And that was argued by the Muslim Council of Britain. So similarly, things like extensions for temples, for mosques, festivals, having arrangements with the police and things like that. It's all important because they look at the data and think how much of a need there is. Because if there is that many people celebrating a festival or requiring a service like that, at the temple, at the gurdwaras, at the masjids, then we are able to provide that, as government will be able to provide that, because the data is the first thing they'll look at. And where the data is not sort of squaring up to things, then obviously there's more of a chance that proposals or ideas are rejected.
What do you think prevents the Indian community from filling out the census, and how can we address these fears?
I can only go by what I've sort of gauged from my engagement. And the initial main scare seems to be around data security. So I've tried to reassure them with regards to the GDPR. The fact that the ONS only uses this data for the purpose it's been collated for, and anything else would be a criminal offence. So that's always been at the front of my questions and answers session. So before I go into that, I've sort of prepared 10 or 12 lines to sort of read to them to sort of alleviate those fears or diminish them completely. And I'd like to think that's helped because that's something I caught on to very early, especially in this day and age where, you know, a lot is said on Facebook, Instagram and places like that, where people who are of the younger generation seem to sort of promote these things. Oh, be wary, you know, your data is going somewhere, it's going to be sold off to this American company, etc. And that can naturally cause fear amongst everyone, not just the Asian community or the Indian community, so to speak, but anybody. So I'd like to think that I've gone a long way in trying to sort of eliminate that problem.
What happens to the census data in the long run?
So my understanding is basically the census data stays secure for 100 years, especially things like the main nominal, so your name, your addresses and things like that, they're removed for the purpose of census. So we take the stats from the other things that have been declared and used that predominantly for the census. The other data is destroyed, I believe, after 100 years, or becomes available, should I say, sorry, after 100 years for the public. And it's to authorize researchers or companies. So it would be things like, say, ancestry websites and things like that. So it's not just, you know, someone comes along, wad of cash, and off the data goes. So it is securely held. We remove the data that's been collated now. We'll remove the names and addresses at the earliest possible opportunity.
What are the implications of undercounting the population?
Well, very serious, I would say, because that would cause a problem in terms of, say, services being seized. I'll give you one example. I was talking to a couple of ladies from the Hindu community who were running regular classes, yoga classes, dance classes, and they had, say, 15 to 20 people, small groups. But now they've, and not just because of lockdown, they've gone down to sort of 5 or 10, simply because either the when the census data basically, and this is again going back to what I was saying, if the need, if the government feels or the council feels that the need for these things are not there, they're not going to get the appropriate funding for the longer run. And similarly, it would be the same amongst the rest of the population. We shouldn't take these services for granted. They are given to us because we represent ourselves. That's the key thing here. If we don't represent ourselves correctly, then we are putting ourselves in danger of these services ceasing. And some of them are very important and crucial, especially because there is a vast amount of people that have migrated from other countries who may not speak the local language, English language, so well. So there are a lot of services that are provided to these people. And naturally, if these services are not there, then we can't just say we're going to rely on other members of the community to come and help out.
And what would you say to somebody who's hesitant to fill out the census because they're worried about how the data could impact their immigration status?
Well, no, this doesn't, this again, and I go back to the security, data security questions that people were asking, who is this shared with? This data is only used for the purpose it's stated for, which happens every 10 years. It is a legal requirement, and it is something that's always happened. We are not here to share your information about things like your legal status and things like that to pass around to other authorities. So that's definitely a no, and that's about as reassuring as I can be. And I've mentioned the certain acts around it. You know, people are free to Google these things and see for themselves that, you know, it's protected by so many acts in the sense that we are just not allowed to share it. It would be an offence. And it's created as a statutory body, the ONS is, the people that run the census, the Office for National Statistics. So it's just a no there. And that's something I've stated in all my presentations that I've done with the community.
Do you have any final thoughts or messages that you'd like to send to somebody who might be listening to this and haven't filled out the census yet?
First and foremost, I would like to say, please, please, please represent yourselves correctly. Take part in the census. It is important. This census is probably the most important, if not one of the most important, in the last 50 years, perhaps 60 years or more, because we don't know what's going to happen going forward. We don't know if the census is going to be every 10 years or 5 years or 20 years, how things are going to happen. But what is important is when it does happen, if we're represented correctly, the needs of the community are met very, very well. Every need for the community is served. And there's a greater chance that, you know, we won't be falling short of what we expect from our councils and local government. So taking part is the most important thing. And like I said, I want to reassure people that your data is safe and it will be securely held. In terms of going forward, we know that there's, like I mentioned right at the start, Britain, England, Wales, you know, we all have what we call, especially in England, we have what we call a changing community. the changes are more faster than I'd say gradual. And therefore, in terms of going forward, how things are going to pan out, we don't know. You know, there may be a change in how we collect data or you know, what happens going forward. And I'd like to think that, you know, we are moving sort of into the new age and things are changing. I mean, like, for example, this is the first digital census. That just goes to show how far we've come and how far we're going. You know, these are the things to sort of look at. And like I said, the population is changing. The needs of the population are forever changing. So it is a very important census. And the next one will probably be equally important, if not more important.
Definitely. Thank you so much.